Well, and I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. I have another message about the love of God. That's an endless topic. In particular, I'm thinking about the theme similar to what is in the song that Brother and Sister Boer just sang about there being healing in Jesus. Nearly everything that Jesus did demonstrated that. He told those who came to hear him that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we study what his actions were. That's what he tried to do toward everyone with whom he had contact. When Jesus stood alone in Pilate's hall on trial for his life, he was still busy trying to reach out to Pilate and help him see where he was. I'm very glad he's that way, because that's the way he's been with me too. It's so the Lord's mercies that I've found the opportunity for salvation of my never dying soul. And I'm grateful to him. I'm grateful that he puts that same manner of spirit in his people. And I'd like to talk about, in particular, what happened after Jesus' crucifixion. His apostles were nearly overwhelmed with the events that had taken place, as well you could imagine. Such a horrific scene. I don't know how people live in such a barbaric manner as the Jews and other people were living in that age. We here in the United States still practice in some states capital punishment. I don't suppose there's a civilized way to take another human being's life, but we don't expose them to the most agony that we can think of for an unending period of time. That's what happened with Jesus. His disciples and his apostles had been associated with him, all of them, for 3.5 years of his active ministry. Some of those who were his disciples were actually related to him and had known him since childhood. It's a horrifying thing to have someone like that. You have to watch him undergo the kind of things that Jesus did. And those people were wounded in two ways. One was by the sorrow of losing a dear and valued friend. Maybe you've had that experience when you lost someone dear to you. It's terrible to lose someone who's dear to you suddenly, tragically perhaps, in an auto accident or with a quick-acting disease. But it's worse if there's human malice involved. Then you have a double wound. You have a wound to your heart, and you also have a wound to your soul. Because if we ever allow ourselves to drink the unhappy waters of bitterness and resentment and hatred, they contaminate our spirits and they destroy our souls. And with the kind of events that happen in life, sometimes that's difficult to avoid. Certainly it was for the disciples who were following the Lord. But Jesus had an answer to give to them, and it changed them drastically and forever. We too are in need of the answer that Jesus has for us many times along the journey of life. So let me read you, if you will, 24th chapter of the book of Luke. After the crucifixion, the 10 of the apostles were gathered together in a room somewhere. I don't know where they were, but I have to wonder if it wasn't the same upper room where they had the Last Supper. There are some indications from the writings of the early church fathers that that is where the folks who were waiting for the Holy Spirit to be given all gathered together and spent their time fasting and praying. If it was the place where they were, don't you know there must have been some powerful, poignant memories of their last association with the Lord in that place? At any rate, the scripture said, and as they thus spake, speaking of the 10 who were gathered there, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish, an oven honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behold Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. I would suppose maybe the Lord's conversation was longer than these verses that we have here, but they contain the import of what he said. And with this two or three paragraphs, the Lord completely turned these brethren around, healed all their grief, and equipped them to be joyful witnesses for him in the things that lay ahead. Nobody has the power to do that for others in life except the Lord himself. There have been some times when I would have liked to. I've had dear friends who were undergoing great grief and sorrow and disappointment. Search for the right words to say. Have you ever done that? Somebody in trouble, you want to be a help, go down to Walmart and pick out the card with the words in it that come most near to what you want to say. But while you do it, you know that there's a place that you really can't reach. One of our songs says, Other friends may bless and comfort, cheering words and so forth, but the balm to heal the heartache, only Jesus can afford. It doesn't take him very long to do it. He made the whole situation change and look different. When Jesus was outside the room where these men were, their hearts were loaded with two things. One of them was the grief of having lost a dear friend and the horror of the manner in which it occurred. And the other was the inevitable feelings of disappointment, because they thought God would assist and not allow this to happen. And also the feelings of resentment and hostility that they must have felt toward the Jews, toward the Romans, toward the circumstances that had taken place. You and I are subject to have those same kind of feelings. We need somebody bigger than we are to be able to help us. Jesus knew just how to do it. And I'd like to rehearse with you some of the manner in which he did it. First of all, he miraculously appeared in the midst. That gets my attention. When I come to somebody's house, if I want to get in, I always have to get the door opened. Jesus just appeared. He appeared in the midst. I wonder sometimes when I read these things where he really is. Paul said he is not far off from every one of us. When Jesus fed the multitude, the scripture said he blessed the bread and it said he looked up. Now we've sent exploring rockets all the way to Mars and nobody found any spiritual heavens up there. What was he looking at? Human eye can't see much more than just that blue that's up there in the skies. And yet, I think if our spiritual eyes were open, we'd see this very building populated with angels. The Lord's not far from every one of us. He's right here. He's present with us. And at any time that you and I are faced with the hardships and adversities of life, there is a place we can understand that we don't walk alone. There is someone else who's there, got his hand on ours, got his arm around our shoulders, going with us along whatever we're called upon to face. He just appeared in their midst. And he began by asking them the question that struck right to the very heart of what their situation was. Scripture said they believed not for joy. But the Lord said, "Why are ye troubled? Why are ye troubled?" And I don't see so much reproof in that as I see invitation. Folks, whatever trouble you and I have got in life, we have the privilege to take it to the Lord. He's interested in it. He cares about the things that affect us in life. When Jesus comes on the scene, one of the first questions that he has to ask is, "Why are you troubled?" Well, I think he knew why they were troubled a lot more than they did. He was the one who had actually undergone the crucifixion. But he wanted them to have the opportunity to open their hearts, to pour it out on the Lord. That's what he extends to you and me too. That's why I come to worship service. I appreciate the joy that I find here. I certainly do appreciate the fellowship of the saints. But I also count it one of the most important places in my life to help me face whatever hardship or adversity there is along the way. Here is where I can come and tell Jesus whatever it is that I need to tell him. It's not idle telling. As I mentioned, these people were completely turned around by the events that took place that day. He asked them, "Why are you troubled?" They couldn't believe that it was him. Have you ever had the Lord do something for you so amazing that you had to step back and look at it the second time, couldn't really quite believe that it was happening? Well, that's what took place, and the Lord knew that too. And so he gave them some reassurances. I have questions about this. I don't understand all that I know about it from what the scripture says, recorded twice in the events of after Jesus' crucifixion that he did this, once here and once after the 12 had fished all night and caught nothing, and they came over on the bank, and there the Lord had prepared a fire, and he had fish and bread prepared for them, like he was going to have something to eat too. And I wonder, does the Lord eat in heaven? He had a body that could go through doors, and yet, all right, I think the reason he did it is because he wanted to let them know that he was real to them still again. I don't know that his spiritual body requires food like our literal ones do and all the other processes that go with that. But I think he wanted him to know he was real. Have you anything to eat? And he took some bread and he took some fish and some honey and ate it with him. And then he expounded the scriptures. Well, I've done that some. Not like Jesus did. But the Lord blesses us to have some understanding of the scriptures and learn here and there along the way, and we try to give it out. I've learned that expounding the scriptures alone is not enough. None of these steps by themselves are enough. It's when the Lord is in it that it's enough. The Bible backs up what Jesus is doing. Jesus expounded the scriptures. These men were hurt at the Jews and at the Romans because they'd done what they'd done to Jesus. And the Lord first set about proving to them it wasn't over. They hurt me, yes, and you saw me die. But it wasn't the end. And it won't be the end for you and me when we run into troubles in life, folks. There is a bright tomorrow. There is a better hope if we'll go on and follow the Lord. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. No matter what circumstance we may get into, no matter how disappointing life may appear, how badly we may be hurt. I heard the comments this morning, as you did, about the events that are going on with our military and the changes taking place in our nation. In my opinion, it's an avalanche. And I don't know how far to let the Lord will let it go. The values that I grew up with are changing in our culture. But I've got a good message for you. The Lord has a way to keep His people through whatever transpires in our nation. If we'll be faithful and serve Him, folks, they can take away our homes. They can take away our freedom, but they can't take away our salvation. And if they do these things to us, we'll only be walking in the footsteps where many another has gone. Don't you know what the Lord said about that? Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Don't rejoice that it happened to you. It'd be better if they didn't do it and you didn't have to receive it. But if they do it, rejoice and be exceeding glad, because great is your reward. The Lord's taking note of that. He said, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Jesus expounded the scriptures, and what he told them was, you know, they killed me, and it hurt. But they couldn't have done it if I hadn't let them do it. That's really what I came here for. By their doing that, salvation's come to everybody. They said, oh, we see that now. That's what the next thing was. He committed them to the gospel of repentance and remission of sins. Once they understood, they were ready then to go start telling people through the blood of Jesus Christ. Just like we're getting healed now, you can get healed as well. He made them witnesses. He promised them assistance. Stay here and tarry till the Holy Ghost comes. You'll have power. And that'd be a good thing to have. And then he gave them a final benediction. Now, Paul took this gospel to Macedonia. Corinth. The historians tell us that at the time that the book of 2 Corinthians was written, the average life expectancy of a Christian in Corinth was about 3 weeks. Because the persecution was so severe. Those folks didn't get a visit like this from Jesus. The ones who had been immediately present with the Lord, handled His flesh and blood, needed something that comforted them for what they had seen directly happen with their own eyes. The folks in Corinth didn't have that. They weren't at Jerusalem when these things took place, but their world was just as vivid and real to them as yours and mine is to me today. When they had to face adversity, they needed a comfort. The Lord found a way to comfort them in their circumstances, just like He will you and me. The Lord has a comfort that's fitted exactly to your and my situation in life. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I got a song with it that the Lord put on my heart. I was praying about this, and maybe we can sing it now. It's number 66, I think, in our blue book. Will you sing that with us, please? Would you please?
There are some disappointments. There are times when we weep. When those with the pain have words to speak. But through hearing in Jesus, there's a bond.
I think maybe there's only one thing man-made in heaven, and that's the wounds in Jesus' hands and feet. Our works don't rise to that level. It wouldn't have been enough for the apostles, say, Thomas with his steel trap mind, to draw down deep on his stores of strength and courage and say, I'm going to believe him anyway. Human strength, no matter how great, only goes so far. They needed a help. They needed something from the Lord. Thomas needed the Lord to come and say, put your hand in my side. Put your fingers through the holes in my hands. It changed Thomas. I don't think he ever got over that. Folks, there's a difference in making up our minds to serve the Lord and having the Lord come down and honor that and give us something that makes us able to do what we were not able to do before. Now, I want to give you some experiences that I have had in my life, both in our personal life, Roberta and mine, and seen in the lives of others. How the Lord changes things. He heals folks. He heals the heart and he heals the soul. When I was newly graduated from high school, I learned here that the Lord has a way to help young people. Fresh in life, insecure, uncertain, went out with a gospel tent. I was not a preacher. My job was to drive the stakes when they set the tent, set up the folding chairs, the work of that sort. Now, we were driving long distances. Brother Albert Eck and his wife were managing that operation. Brother Albert asked me about driving the truck. We pulled a trailer behind it, and I was embarrassed. And I told him I didn't like to drive. That was a foolish thing to say. So he did all the driving, and he'd say how tired he was. And I developed a resentment toward him because he never did ask me to drive anymore. I thought he doesn't appreciate what I'm trying to do, and I thought he doesn't trust my skills. And so I prayed about that. And the Lord told me, you need to tell him that you made a mistake. So the next time he and I were in the cab together, I told him, Brother Albert, I told you that I don't like to drive, but that's wrong. Because I'm a teenage boy and I do like to drive. And he said, I'm so glad to hear you say that. All the reason for my feeling resentful at him evaporated in a moment. He said, next time we stop, you're going to get behind the wheel. I'll show you what you need to do if you're making mistakes. That's what he does with young people. I know he does because he did that with me. I brought my trouble on myself, but the Lord had mercy on me anyway. He is that way. He's a healer, don't you see? I want to point out to you when Roberta and I went to India, there was a sacrifice for her. Roberta, when she married me, never had any idea that she'd go around the world from both directions and experience all the things that she has, and she was afraid about that. She needed something from the Lord. I did too, but in a different way, because I wasn't afraid of it like she was. But my wife, I testify for her, prayed until the Lord gave her a scripture that comforted her, and she went and stood on that scripture. I remember well while we were over there, on one occasion we were walking to the worship service, it was evening time, she stepped in a hole and twisted her ankle and went rolling down the bank that was there, right down where the cobras were suspected to be, and the Lord protected her. And she's still sitting here today. And those kind of experiences give her, and all of us, the strength to face what else is coming next. What we've seen in the past gives us something to face the future. She didn't get that courage by herself. It's not just her trying to be brave. The Lord gave her something. That's why we come to worship service, to get something real. I think about mothers today like that song talks about. There are many and many a mother in our world with a heavy load on her heart because of things that are happening in her family that she can't control. And I've had some of them, Roberta and I have, come and visit with us. We try to help. had a whole lot more where we looked on and maybe weren't asked about it, but grieve, sorrow about it, hate to see things going that way. The best I know to say is that there is a comfort in the Lord. He did create this world, and he still knows how to help people go through it and care for us. I've had some experiences in my ministry. I was pastor for several years in LaRonger, Louisiana congregation. I know that there is a special calling from the Lord to that kind of work. And there's a time when it lifts. The Lord showed me that it was time for me to resign that congregation. It was moving toward that point. And so I spoke with the congregation about it. But my testimony to you is that the Lord showed me the very service that the umbrella lifted. And I told the folks, I love you and I want to care, be involved in your lives as long as I can. But there's a special unction the Lord gives a pastor, and he's lifted it from me. And it would be an injustice to you and to me for me to try to continue in that role, because I don't have the blessing from the Lord to protect you in the same way that a pastor does. I'm so grateful that the Lord orders his church and set the members in the body as it pleases him. I don't know how to do those things by myself. This is not an organization that's run by human skill or ability. God in heaven governs over our souls. And I appreciate it more than I can say, his kindness to us. I've had the Lord give me things that I didn't like to take. I remember when Roberta and I were trying to move to LaRonger, trying to sell our house. We'd sold our house. We had a contract on the house. Money put down, quite a bit of money on the house, earnest for it. I went out and bought a little motorhome, something we could live in when we got down there until we got our feet on the ground and saw what the situation was. And just 2 days before time to close, we got a call from the real estate agent and said, I haven't heard any more from these people. I don't know where they are. I don't know what they're doing. Come to find out, they had separated. And the whole deal had fallen through. And I prayed that as far as I could. And the Lord told me just one scripture. And I heard it over and over and over in my spirit, praying about it from that time on. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And it made my heart sick. And I had that to live with for several months. And the Lord let me know, I want you to understand what it's like to be in that kind of place, because we learn how to comfort others with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. I felt impatient. I felt disappointed. I felt frustrated. I felt like I'd been seeking the Lord and what I'd been praying for didn't come to pass like I thought it would. And then I thought, I wonder if that's how Paul felt when the Lord told him, you're going to Rome, and he got in a shipwreck on the way and barely got to land. The whole ship was lost. Got on the land, tried to build a fire to dry out, and a snake come out and bit him on the hand. But it's still in the order of the Lord, just as much as he was when he was in the Philippian jail. And the jailer, the angel came and got him out. Don't you know that he will teach us sometimes through our tears and disappointment? And it's a good way. It's a good way. The Lord has a way to tell us these things that change us forever. I mind a minister brother. He isn't always by a direct voice or an angel's coming to pay us a visit. Sometimes it is. I remember a minister brother got into a big trouble of some sort. And he said he was praying about it and fasting about it and didn't know what to do. And he said early one morning, some little old sister in the congregation come and knocked on his door, and he got up to see what she had to say. And she shook her finger in his face and said, brother, if the Lord got you in this, he'll get you out of it. And turned around and left. And that was all she said. And he stood on that for years, and the Lord got him out of it too. Folks, the Lord's big enough to get you and me out of whatever he gets us into. He still cares for us. I thought in considering about this little discourse this morning, my dear friend and mentor in the gospel, Brother Roy Harmon, and we still refer to him frequently. He attended services in our congregation for quite some time near the end of his life. I remember he was a man who loved his wife, I guess, nearly as much as anybody ever saw. Very tender toward her, very caring of her. But the Lord took her. We watched her growing ill. We knew that this was approaching. I think he knew it too. But we wondered, I know I wondered and prayed for Brother Roy. How will he be able to stand this? It is so hard. Those who have been through these things before have told me that's the greatest place of all, to lose your companion. Nearly any hurt is lesser than that. We watched Brother Roy approach Saturn and said, how will he be able to be all alone in that house by himself? And the hours that he spent caring for his wife, something else that he can fill him up with. But the Lord had an answer for that. And it amazed me when it happened. He saw the angels. They had a visit from the Lord. The whole family came away talking about what happened. It wasn't, the scripture said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And those of us who were familiar with that, we'd say, in that instance, it was absolutely true. Because the manner of her passing, instead of being the bitter grief and disappointment we normally would expect, the Lord turned it, it's got sorrow in it. We still miss them today, but it's got rejoicing. And Brother Roy lived an extended time after that. And I saw him cry. And I saw him grieve for his wife, but I never saw him discouraged. He was thankful for where she was. He was thankful for the years he had to give. Is that just courage? No, it's more than that. The Lord paid him a visit that changed him. He does things like that for us, folks. I remember when my mother was in her final illness. I've experienced death in my immediate family 3 times. In my life and needed the Lord badly each time. But I remember when my mother was in her final illness, I was not prepared for grief. I didn't understand grief at the time. I had the foolish idea, I know, that nothing could harm our family, that I would do something to prevent it if that time came. But my mother got sicker and sicker, and there was nothing I could do to prevent it. And I prayed it as far as I could, and the Lord gave me a scripture in the book of Job that said, many such things are with him. And that has comforted me so many times in my life. When trouble has come, I know that sounds odd, doesn't it? But you know, the scripture that looks odd when the Lord sets it on fire to you, it's not odd anymore. It fits the need. The Lord gave me that, and the next time trouble came along, I had that to comfort me. Don't be surprised. Don't be discouraged. He's got a lot of things like that. He's still God. He's still on his throne. He knows what he's doing. He cares for you and me, folks. Just like he came in to comfort those apostles and turn them around and make them prepared to go on with their lives, he'll be there for you and me when we need him. Now, isn't that why we come to worship service? Isn't that what we're doing here today? Entreating him, have mercy on our souls. Lead us in the way everlasting. We enjoy seeing one another's faces. It's precious and valuable. But God help us that we always have a place where the Lord meets with us, where his Spirit reigns, where he opens our hearts and our understandings to the things that we need. And I know that you can rehearse a whole bunch of things the Lord's done for you the very same way. And haven't they tempered your life and made you what you are? And don't you look around sometimes? I know you do. And see folks in the world around us carrying the wounds, no matter how bravely. So I wish you could get the healing the Lord's got for you. I mind a man I knew. He was of another belief system. And he was very devout in his belief. But he described a situation to me in which someone confronted him, took advantage of him, spoke very angry words to him, mistreated him. He said he didn't know what he was dealing with. He said if it hadn't been for the grace of God, he said, I'm an ex-Green Beret. He said I knew just what to do to him. His life was in my hands. I could have touched him so fast, but I didn't. I stood there trembling, but I didn't say a word. And I thought, friend, the wound's not healed. God's got something that makes you, it doesn't matter what you were or weren't. You see beyond it to a soul in trouble. I don't know how to put it into words so people can understand it. Jesus had trouble getting people to understand it too. But there is something in the grace of God that makes the insult not hit you. I mind Brother Sam Barton just told us how one of his workmen attacked him and hit him got in a fight with him and struck him several times, and people said they could hear the blows hitting, but Brother Barton said, I never felt a thing. You know, the Lord's got a place where you don't feel it. It's different when the Lord's with you. It's different. It's worth the trouble to come to meeting, to pray our prayers and to sing our songs. There's somebody greater than you and me who wants to go with us along the journey. Friends, let's bring our heartache and sorrow to the Lord. He's the great physician. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention this morning. God be with us, everyone. There is healing in Jesus. Amen.